So, 10 things. Great exercise.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you can do this at any time. This is just a simple spreadsheet that you can fill in at any time. And cross the things off and then add new things. So what would I like? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? If you want a holiday, then pick a picture of the holiday, stick it up on the wall in the kitchen, make it real for yourself. And as you walk into the kitchen, have a look at that and say, well, yeah, that's where I must go. I need the smile, the blue seas and the white sands and the, you know, and just create that wow, and then you'll find yourself being drawn towards it. I got a very good lesson from, he's my 11-year-old now, he was only about 8 at the time, and one of the things I have on my list, by the way, is a Mercedes. Now, I'm not into cars, per se, and the Oakham driving proves that. It's just something I have, okay, from the time I was a kid, I just always thought, God, wouldn't that be great? And I was driving along one day, getting impatient with how slow things were happening, and my son was in the back of the car, and I was thinking out loud, and I said something like, I don't know why I don't have my Mercedes right now. And at 8 years of age, he turned around and said, Dad, I do. And I said, hey, why? He said, because you bought a Subaru. Is that good? So here I am, going out, buying a car, buying a Subaru, and saying, why don't I have a Merc? How stupid is that? Yeah? I was driving by a car sales place there on the Nace Road. Now, okay, it's a 00 E-Class 2-litre, 4,500. You know, I'm sure even the bank would give me 4,500 over 5 years if I talked to them nicely. Yeah, 9 quid a week. So I could probably afford it. So what's holding me back? I don't know what's holding me back. There is something there. You know, and maybe it's what other people think, or maybe I've other priorities, or maybe I'm not important enough. I don't know. But there is something. So even though I'm teaching this stuff, I want you to know I haven't completely mastered it yet. And I suppose this is something we have to keep learning ourselves and keep pushing and keep believing that, yes, we can do it, and we know we can and we want to do it. Is that okay? And in that case, this word but comes into its own again. See, wanting something and focusing on it starts the creation of it. Listen to this though. I want it but. I want it but it's very expensive. I want it but what the neighbours think if I drive up in a big market. I want it but do I really need a 3-litre car driving around Dublin? I want it but it's 1,500 quid tax every year. I want it but it only does 30 miles to the gallon for diesel. Can you see what's happening here? So I want it starts the creation and but stops it. I want it but, I want it but, I want it but. That will never happen. So what's far better in that case is the word because. I want it because it'll make me feel good. I want it because of the comfort. I want it because of the luxury. I want it because of what it says to the world. Can you see how that's different? How it runs a different program in your head. I want it because, I want it because. And we lived with 4 lads in the house. These lads can wreck a house. And they're not vandals or whatever. They're just big, awkward rugby players who break things by their size and shape. And we sat there for a couple of years, bemoaning the mess that our house was in. Oh, look, the press is broken now, and the couch is broken, and they've wrecked that stuff, and look at this, and they've wrecked this, and they've wrecked that. And this conversation was going on in our house for months. Oh, look, they've wrecked another thing. None of that goes in this house, sir. It's a disaster. And then I read this stuff. And then I said, well, hold on a second now. You know, we've had this conversation, we've played this over and over and over, and as we're focusing on the state of the place, the state of the place is getting steadily worse. So what do we want? What do we want? Well, it'd be good to have wooden floors instead of carpets. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a big table that we could have our friends at. It'd be nice to have, you know, proper units in the kitchen that work. It'd be nice to have wardrobes that we could actually hang stuff in. It'd be nice if, and then we got the kids in on this act as well, and we said, okay, so if we're doing up the house, lads, what do you want in your rooms? And what do you want? And we started this talk ourselves about what do we want. And then we moved out to the garden. So what do you want in the garden? We'd like an area for a barbecue. We'd like an area to be able to sit down. And yeah? Bang. 6 months. Now, helpful, friendly bank manager. Of course, the clearer we got in terms of what we wanted, the easier it was. And when we went into a shop and there was a million things in the shop, I was surprised. There was no choice. So if they had 47 different floors, because we knew what we wanted and we had a picture at home on the wall of what we wanted, when we walked into a showroom, it's that one. Yeah? And it was the easiest job we ever did. And the clearer you are about what you want, with the millions of choices you have out there, suddenly the one, right one, becomes clear. And as we focused on the mess, we got the mess. As we focused on what we wanted, we got what we wanted. Yeah? Brilliant. Now, the other thing I want to talk to you about, and some of you are stuck onto this, and maybe this second exercise will help you. I want you to become, to start thinking of you and to put yourself on the priority list as well. This is a wonderful exercise, and I absolutely love it. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a circle. Let me just take one and pass it off. I'll explain to you how this works. The circle works. Say it's a sign of madness if you can draw a perfect circle. It's not bad, is it? The circle has 8 segments in it. Alright? And say it's a clock. So this is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And if you can imagine on the lines here, like there's a grid from 1 to 10. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Are you with me? Where 1 is terrible and 10 is brilliant. Is that okay? And what I want you to do now is, I want to go through different areas in your life. Sorry, I'll just move on here. I'll come back to this in a minute. Different areas in your life in terms of achieving balance. Balance is very important in our lives. You find people who single-mindedly, you know, they want to be rich. I want to be rich. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire. They focus on being a millionaire, and guess what? They become a millionaire. And guess what? They're bloody miserable. Because they stood on everybody on the way to become a millionaire. They don't have any friends. They've dodgy relationships. They don't know whether their friends like them or their money or what it is. And they become insecure. And you see, these people have dreadful lives, don't they? And the reason they have dreadful lives is that their lives are out of balance. Is that okay? Their lives are out of balance. And if we want to achieve anything, we need to achieve balance in the long term. There's times, of course there's times when we go out of balance. A new child arrives, so suddenly our focus is on the child. We get a new job, our focus is on the job. So at different stages of our lives, our focus changes. And that's good and right that it should. Overall, though, we need to have a balance that we're bringing everything up. That we're not sacrificing one thing at the cost of something else. So as long as we can achieve this balance, then we have good and happy lives. Item number 1 is your family life. So whatever your family is, or whatever the concept of family is to you, the question is, how satisfied are you right now with your whole family setup? Do you skip in the door and love to see them, or do you wish you were going to somebody else's house? You know? Do you, you know, you should visit them sometime, or, you know, you're perfectly happy, everything is absolutely wonderful, it's as it should be. If you had a perfect picture in the morning, everything would be as it is. Or maybe there's a few things that you'd like to tweak, or maybe you'd like to have more time to spend with them, or whatever the case may be. So give yourself a mark from 1 to 10, 1 down here, 10 up here, and just put a mark on the line wherever you think the appropriate score is. So just put a mark on line number 1 from 1 to 10. And again, this is for your benefit, for nobody else's. Is that okay? Number 2 is your social life. So obviously it's good to have friends, isn't it? And it's nice to have friends and a bit of a social life and life outside work and having a bit of crack. And so whatever your social life is, if it's partying in nightclubs till 4 in the morning and starting into work afterwards, or whether it's having a barbecue or a meal at home, or going out with friends for meals, or going to the theatre or cinema, or whatever your idea of a perfect social life is, where do you stand on that right now? Are you a 1? You know, You can ask my friends if I have any. Or is it a 10 where you're just partying every night of the week? I have a 20-year-old son who is a 10 right now. Absolute 10. I've never seen anybody with a capacity for, and he's loving it. And you know, it's great. That is the age when you have to party and enjoy your life. You know, adults who hold kids back, stop, you forget. You know, that's what I wanted to do when I was his age. He's having a ball. And you know, they don't even get hangovers, you know, that they can drink all day and all night and one cup of coffee in your grand in the morning. Get to my age and the hangover lasts longer than the session, you know. So that is the time to drink and enjoy. But whatever your social life or whatever your picture of social life is, so is it good, is it bad? Give yourself a score from 1 to 10 along the line. Yeah? Number 3 is personal development. Now, development. We have to invest in ourselves. We spend more time planning our summer holidays than we spend planning our whole lives. Lives are just what happens. We just get up in the morning, we switch on automatic pilot, and I have to go to work, and I have to get home, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do that, and we have this have to, and you just feel the guilt of it all then when you don't measure up to the high standards that you've set. We need to have time for ourselves, we need to develop ourselves, we need to read, we need to do seminars such as this to give ourselves a bit of a boost and just stand back from our own lives and think, well, what do I want? And there's thousands of books, and some are better than others, and there's audio programs and tapes. And rather than cursing the traffic if you have an hour to drive to work every day, you know, get one of these gurus, get them on tape, get them on CD, stick them in the car, say, I'm going to use the next hour to learn some stuff, to develop a bit of positive mental attitude, or whatever you want to call it. So where are you on the personal development trail right now? Are you a 1, you know, couldn't be bothered, or are you an 8 or 9 where you feel, yeah, okay, I'm spending a bit of time on that. I have time for myself. And we all know we do need time for ourselves every now and then, even with family. Just need to switch off and have space. And wherever that is, if it's a walk or if it's a glass of wine, that's your business. So where are you on personal development right now? A 1 or an 8? 4 is health. So where are you on health right now? Are you healthy as a trout? Not a bother on you? Everything is absolutely wonderful. Hale and hearty. Are you neglecting yourself? Are you looking at stuff? Maybe I could be a bit healthier. Maybe I could, you know, go down to 60-0 today. Maybe. So where am I on health? Is there a bit of work to be done? Am I absolutely perfect? 5 is attitude. To me, attitude is the most important. It's how I look at stuff. So have I a positive attitude? Am I a 10? Am I really nothing apart from a suicide bomber to ruin my day? Or am I a 1 where, you know, well, people like that are locked up for their own and everybody else's safety? Okay, these are the big neggy people that you meet. You know, these people who just suck in all your energy and strength. They're negative people. And they stand like this, hunched over, you know. Oh, I just avoid them completely. Go away, a horrible person. I can't. Not strong enough now to cope with you. Thanks very much. So, where are you with attitude? Yeah? A 1 or a 10. So, positive attitude, good attitude, or whatever. Then 6 is career. So, where am I in my job right now? This is not how much am I earning. This is how satisfied, how happy I am with my career. I could be earning $500,000 a year as vice president of a global organization and hate it. And wish I had time to spend it all with the kids, or wish I had time to go sailing or whatever my passion is. So it's not about huge income or huge earnings. It's a career, to me, is doing stuff you love doing. That's a proper career, is doing stuff that we love doing. But yet we stigmatize people and we think, oh, he's a doctor, he's doing well, he's sweeping the streets, he's doing badly. No. It's about how you feel. And I've said that to my kids as well, that if your job, you want to sweep the streets in Dalkey where we live, as long as when you get to the corner of Castle Street, you look back at a gleaming, clean street and go, God, doesn't that look great? I did that. Sweep the streets. Do it and love it and take a pride in it and go home with a smile on your face going, wow, don't they look great? Yeah? And that's what we're going to get from a career. A career is an opportunity to express who we really are. That's what, and we get to do it most of our time. And people don't do that. There is a guy out there, Deepak Chopra. I don't know if you've ever heard of Deepak. Have you come across his? Yeah, you've read a few books there. Deepak is great. Deepak has this, have you read his Seven Spiritual Laws of something or other? Yeah? They're very good. It's a lovely little book. You'll read it in an hour. It's very, and it's not. It's very profound, a lot of stuff. And the seventh spiritual law is what he calls the law of Dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A. And what he says in that is that each person, by definition of being unique, have a unique talent. Yeah? So there is something you can do better than anybody else in the world. Isn't that true? There has to be, because we're unique. There's something that you can do that only you can do. Yeah? Find it. Most people spend their lives... I spoke to a guy who was 65, and he attended a course I gave. And he said to me at the end, but he said, Declan, he said, you know, I spent my whole life working as an accountant because my dad wanted me to be an accountant. And then the next sentence was the saddest thing he ever said was, he said, and I think I've wasted my life. Oh my God. Yeah, surely at some stage in the last 40 years, you know, you got a little feeling somewhere to think I shouldn't be doing this. Yeah? And sometimes when we do find a push on or we lose our job and we sit there thinking that's the worst thing that could happen in the world, in 6 months' time we look back and think, you know, that was fighting I did years ago. We do that, don't we? But again, we worry about the present and we never think back. So, our career, where are we in our careers? So our career could be working one day a week and loving it. Or it could be being a credit manager. I spent my life as a credit manager and I loved it. I couldn't see a better job in the business. I knew everything that was going on. I had, you know, I just loved it. I just felt, for me, that was my career and I'm still involved in credit management. So that's a valid career as well. And I saw myself helping people and getting paid and helping the company I worked for. So career, so are we a 1 or a 10? So are somewhere in between. 7 is finance. So how does our bank balance look right now? Is it brilliant or is it absolutely terrible? But either way, look, we are where we are. Yeah, isn't that true? What the hell? And rather than blaming people for your bank balance and saying, oh, my bank balance is terrible, look at the state of my bank balance. The point of the matter is, guys, whatever you started life with, whatever you earned, less whatever you spent, it's probably your bank balance. Now, who controls all of that? Thank you very much. You've nobody else to blame for your bank balance. Just you. And your bank balance is a reflection of a few things. Of the lifestyle you've lived up to now. Of how much you've earned and how much you've spent. And how much you've saved. It's an old-fashioned concept, this thing called saving. One I would recommend highly. And if you want to get rich, you just spend less than you earn. It's very simple. Yes. Do you know the difference between rich people and poor people? Here it is. This is brilliant. I love this. Rich people love having money. And poor people love spending money. That's the difference. So ask yourself, am I acting like a rich person or a poor person here? And if you're acting like a poor person, guess what? It's simple, really, isn't it? And as long as we continue to spend more than we earn, then we're going to be on a slippery slope. And hundreds of thousands of people are on the slippery slope. So, look, we have to just take stock of it. We have to know how much we earn, we have to know how much we spend, we have to keep control of that too. I find it very difficult to keep track of my own spending. And I've come up with an amazing system, an absolute amazing system for managing my own money. Because a lot of us have our laser cards and Visa cards when we buy things during the week. And then it's only when you get your bill you go, oh, jeez, where did all that closer. Yeah? Because it doesn't seem like it's anybody at the time. And it's a funny thing, but like 20, 50 quid is a grand. You know, and it doesn't feel like it at the time. Which, like my simple system. My simple system works for me. I have cash in my wallet. And I always have cash in my wallet. Yes? That is number one. So if I aspire to be rich, which I do, well then obviously you need to have a few bob. And that's one of the joys of being rich. I use my wallet like a petty cash box. So every time I spend money, I use cash. So if I'm buying petrol, a meal, a few pints or whatever else, the only discipline I have is I get the receipt. Yeah? And I stick the receipt into the wallet. And on a Saturday morning when everybody's still in bed and I'm up having a cup of coffee, enjoying my peaceful time at home, just with four lads in the house and all their friends, there could be 100 people in my house at any given point in time. So what I would do is, I would take out all my receipts, I would add them up, I would add up the cash and balance it-ish. I never got it quite right. Yeah? So I spent 70 quid last week. So I go to the ATM and take out 70 quid. Yeah? I spent 180 quid last week. I go to the ATM and take out 180. Yeah? And I keep topping up to the figure I want in my wallet. So every Saturday lunchtime, I have cash in my wallet. And every Saturday morning, I count it, check the receipts, say, oh, Jesus, I can't spend 50 quid a week on coffee. That's stupid. So I'm not sort of beating myself up for time. When I sit down on a Saturday morning, I think, okay, well, maybe. And then you go to the pub on a Friday night and you meet all the lads and you get robbed on the way home. Couldn't have drank that much. Somebody must have some money out of my wallet. Anyway, you know that feeling, I'm sure. So it gives you great control. And you know what? When you have to take 20s or 50s out of your wallet, you ask yourself, do I really need that pair of shoes? Mm. Okay, a swipe of a card is bad. Or you have to go 20, 40, 120, 60, 80. Oh, it's real. It's a great trick. How are your finances? No worries, everything is wonderful. Or maybe it's not quite there. And finally, and that's not part of what we're going to do today, is what I call spirituality. Spirituality is not religion, although it can be if you want it to be. I think for me, spirituality is just a recognition of something beyond ourselves. So whatever that is for you, that's a personal thing. It's important to some, it's not important to others, that's fine. I think for most of us, though, we would like to think there's something beyond this. And even if there isn't, if you saw Woody Allen, you know, even if we do just go into the ground at the end of the tree, we might as well have a good time while we're here. As there's another guru I read some time ago, a guy called the Barefoot Doctor. And he was talking about doing stuff that you love doing as well. He said, well, you have to do something while you're hanging around waiting to die. True. So why some of the stuff we like? I like that concept of dharma. I like that concept that I am better than anybody else in the world at doing certain things. Okay? And when it comes to me, for example, at the moment, if you look at all the experience I have in credit management, all the experience I have in management, all the knowledge I've amassed from all these different stuff, the fact that I can speak English, the fact that I can hopefully impart knowledge fairly well. There's very other people on the planet that can do that, what I'm doing. And I love doing it. And if I won the lotto tomorrow, I would still love to do this. To show people a better way and to teach them how to take control of their own lives and to make the most of it. And rather than finding it, you know, at the end of it all, you go, oh, Jane, that was a waste. Why did I do that? Okay? So I would do that. So that's me. So it's not that we have any talent. It could be I'm the best at making tea. I make tea. And if it makes you feel good, then do it. If it makes you feel bad, then don't do it. My favourite joke is a Tommy Cooper joke that's going to be wasted on the recording. Anyway, they can ask me how it goes. Tommy Cooper told this joke about a guy who goes in to a doctor. And he goes, doctor, doctor, it hurts when I do that. Mm-hmm. Well, I says, well, don't do that. Isn't that great? Don't do that. So, people were works and this is. So where are we? You know, and I say I will look into that conversation here and now. That's where we're at right now. Do we all have dots or lines on your wheel? Now, here is the thing, guys. Can we just join the dots, please? Join the dots. Is it getting clear now why life is a bit bumpy? Yeah. If that's a wheel. Yeah? It's good, isn't it? So maybe that would be, and review it afterwards as well. Have a look at that. And maybe that would give you an indicator of, like, if my social life is a 10 and my finances are a 2, okay? Well, you know, maybe. Maybe this is telling me something, is it? You know, maybe if my health is a 4 and my, you know, maybe it's telling me something. And hopefully that graph alone will tell you something. You need to look at the areas you need to invest more time and effort in, and then you need to look at the areas that you need to spend less. So, okay. I would use, now these are my 8 things. You might have a different 8 things. Maybe scuba diving is one of your 8 that you love or whatever. So feel free to substitute anything that's not relevant to you. I think these are the 8 areas that, you know, matter most to people. So maybe if I spend a little bit less time on that, a little bit more time on that, maybe that would be good. And the other thing that I do from a time management perspective is, I go around this wheel every Sunday evening, and everybody else is watching America's Got Talent, whatever you watch on a Sunday evening, and I don't. Although I must say, I do enjoy the outtakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll talk about that later on. There's something like a car crash, you know, that you don't want to watch, but you have to. And I do find it amusing. Anyway, I would say, okay, well look, for the week that's coming, what would make a difference to my family? Yeah? So, what is it? This week, the power steering has gone on my wife's car. Yeah, so you need muscles to turn it around the corner. It's not a big deal. I'm going to get the car fixed. So at the moment she's my car, I'll muscle away and I'll get it fixed every week. So it's not a big deal. It'll make a big difference to her. Because it means she can drive the car. So it's no big deal. So I'll put that down on my things to do this week. So what am I going to do this week? So for her, have the car fixed.
Because I do that with work on a Monday, but I don't do it for my personal life at all.
Yes.
At all. That just goes as time to do whatever.
Yeah.
But for work, I would make sure I put
you have your list and everything too. I'll have to do some to do this for yourself. The other thing, and you all have multiple children, and I will share with you a moment that had a huge effect on my life, and I won't mention any names because I'm being recorded. I was talking to a guy one night, and he's a very well-known celebrity. And we were just talking, we just had a dinner at the table, and myself and my wife were chatting to this guy. And This guy, the bottom line is, his son died a couple of years ago. So that's the backdrop. And we were just chatting away, and we're chatting with family and lads and stuff and all that sort of stuff. And it was great, it's a nice, easy conversation. And at the end of the night, he called us over and said, would you mind if I made a personal comment? Which is most unusual out of character for somebody like this. And we thought, oh, of course not, you know, go ahead. And he said, it was great to have a chat with you and see all the things you do as a family, and it's wonderful that you spend time on your family. He said, the one thing though I'd love you to do is, because you have so many kids, will you spend time with them individually? And then he said, because they're the precious moments. And I just thought, wow, it's just like a lightning bolt out of the blue that hit me. I'd done everything for family and getting the lads together and going here and bringing them there. And then I thought back, my own dad died when I was 17. And when I think back of the memories I have of my father, all the times we were just together, just the two of us. They're the only memories I have of them. And it wasn't the big things or the big money or the big presents. It was, you know, down in Bullock Harbour, going for a walk, fishing off the rocks in Dillon's Park. You know, those silly little things that you do on a Sunday afternoon that have no consequence at all. And all the memories I have of him are just the times that it was only the two of us. All the times as a family is a blur. Yeah? And maybe that's true of you too. So, the point I'm saying here is, from a family perspective, rather than just looking at family as a global, so one of the things that I would do is, with the four lads, I would spend one weekend with each of them. Doing whatever, you know, I don't indoctrinate kids, as you probably gather. So my youngest son is a Chelsea supporter, and so I brought him to Stamford Bridge. My third guy's a Liverpool supporter. I'm a United supporter, I don't know where that came from. My eldest guy loves Grand Prix. Yeah, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be money. It might be just going to Donegal and sitting on an island drinking pints for the day. It's not getting big or whatever, it's just that time. And during the week I would spend some time, even if it's just going to a football match. Alright? So, what will make a difference? What will make a difference to my social life? So, maybe we'll like the barbecue on Friday and invite these friends over we haven't seen in a long time. Personal development. Yeah, I've heard about that book. Maybe I'll go and get that new tape I'd like to get. Maybe I'll listen to him. Health. What should I do? Yeah, well, maybe I will go for a walk or whatever it is I want to do. Attitude. How can I improve my attitude? My career. What can I do this week that'll step me a step further in my career? Yeah. My finances. Dublin crying about my finances. Great Dublin saying, what are you going to do about it? So what am I going to do about it? The only two things I can do is earn more or spend less. So, choice is mine. Yeah, so what can I do to earn more money? When was the last time you sat down and brainstormed how to make a million? So I gather none of you have actually made a million. Yeah? And you reckon you'll make a million this year? What's your chances of getting your hands on 10 grand between now and the end of the month? Reckon? What do you reckon? Do you reckon you get 10 grand by the end of the month? You will get 10 grand by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Could have been here,
could have
been here. Yeah. And that's the whole point. Most people say, oh no, you couldn't get 50 grand by the end of the month. If one of your children needed an operation, then would you get it? Damn right you would. So of course we can do it. We know we can do it. But we don't do it. Yeah? Because somehow it's not important enough. I can't reach the edge. Is that okay? So now hopefully from that list, we look at the areas, okay, I need to spend a little bit more time there and a little less time there. And I'll do that. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.